Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says a gossiper will not inherit heaven. But I'm a Christian gossiper. Let's pray about it, brother. Have you ever prayed? And they start gossiping in prayer. Oh God, you know, Billy Joe, his wife is running around, oh God. And oh, is she? Oh my. Oh man. That's gossip.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're looking at the first 16 verses of chapter 5, where Paul reminds Timothy to include in his calling the care of the less fortunate, and to show respect and gratitude of the elderly and other outward actions. It's a presentation called Responsibilities of a True Believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And then there's the widow in Luke 7. The narrative says, and Jesus had compassion on her and said to her, woman, weep not. And he came and touched her little boy that had died. And they bore him. He came near and they were burying him, or they bore him. Those who bore him sat still, and he said to the young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him back to his mother. Why? She was a widow. She needed her boy. They didn't have welfare programs then. They didn't have food stamps. She needed her boy. And Jesus says, woman, weep not. He's coming back. I'll get him back for you because you need him. Isn't that awesome? Jesus has a heart for the widow. For if any widow has children, now people, if there's a widow who has children, or in some of your Bibles says nephew, the word is grandchildren. Children are grandchildren. Let them first learn to show piety or godliness at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. It means this, first of all, if you're a Christian and you have a mother who is a widow and her needs are not being met, you, according to the Word of God, are to make efforts to meet her needs. If you cannot, then get your brothers and your sisters together on the Word of God. Show them this verse. If they refuse, do the best you can. Do the best you can. If you have a mother who's been deserted by a man, or your dad or your stepdad's in prison, minister to your mom. And then if you have grandchildren, if you're a grandchild, you are to minister to your grandparents as God directs and as God leads. The first responsibility is home. Be a Christian at home first. And so the immediate family should first make every effort possible to meet her needs. And by the way, that is something that needs to be practiced in the church. Some people just pull up and say, this is my mom, help her out. Well, wait a minute, excuse me. According to the Word of God, what have you been doing? I mean, we'll gladly help her, but let's stick to the Word of God first. What are you doing? And so we need to be sensitive to that. And so he goes on. That they are to repay. And I got to say this right now, and I just have to say this because it touched my heart. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, it says that we're to obey, that we're to honor. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. What's the promise? You'll live. That's the promise. You'll have a long life. Yeah, you dishonor them, hey, you're going to have a short life. Show them honor. And I got to tell you something. I grew up in a home that's very regimented, my dad being in the Marines, and you know the story. And when I got born again, my dad, after I grew up, I saw this, you know, a newspaper all the time. My dad would sit there, come home from work, and have the newspaper up. And I had shared the gospel with him, and he radically refused the gospel, and some time went by, and this was not said in our home growing up, and it was the word love. And God began to do such a number on my heart, and I saw my dad sitting there in his chair, and I just saw the emptiness of his life. And I pushed the paper down, which is, you don't do that where I come from. I pushed the paper down, and I kissed him right on the forehead. And I said, I love you. And his glasses were like this. And he looked at me, and the bottom part of his eye started to fill up with tears. He would not admit this to this day. But as the bottom part of his eyes began to fill up with tears, and he couldn't look at me, and he said, I love you too, son. First time I ever heard it. And you know what? I remembered growing up, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I was like 5 or 6, and my dad would pull up. I'd see his car coming down the street. You couldn't miss it. It was a 57 Plymouth Belvedere. Have you ever seen one of those? It looks just like the Batmobile. I'm not kidding. Some of you know that car. It's got wings on the back. And it would come down the street. And you press buttons to go in reverse. And no, I'm serious. Press buttons. It was a trip of a car. And I'd see that car coming down the street. And that was my dad. And that was the Dadmobile. And he'd pull up. And he'd always whistle the same tune, carrying that thermos, and always park that car in the same spot. The tire marks out on the street, same spot. You see, when you're little, you notice things like that. And I remember him coming in, and I'd be there. We had a fence around our house. And he'd come up and say, hi, Dad. He'd go, hi, Jackson. Called me Jackson. Hi, Jackson. Always same tone, same way. And I loved it. I didn't ever want that to change. And I remember standing in the kitchen, and he would walk in the kitchen and rinse out the thermos and set it by the... And I'd stand there, and I remember holding his... He's got arms, huge arms. And I would stand there. I remember this. I could paint a picture. I'd stand there, and I would hold the hair on his arms. And I came to about his elbow. I'd sniff his arm. He had a, so I told you I had a nose. And he had a certain smell that was my dad. And I've seen my kids smelling my hand and my arm. And it just makes my heart leap back. We need to repay them. Because they've loved us. They've worked hard. They labored for us. They changed our diapers. Remember? We laid on the brand new couch and got sick and sleeping and threw up all over it. And I got up, I thought I was drowning. My mom didn't beat me up. She loved me. She cleaned me up on a brand new couch. And we got to repay them. We've got to bless them back in their old age. This doesn't affect me at all. You know, it's precious. It's serious. God doesn't take it lightly if we're going to be Christians. And so, he goes on. Now, she who's really a widow and left alone, trust in God, okay? If you're left alone and you're really a widow, trust in God. Continue in supplications and prayers night and day. Are you praying? You must pray. Are you a widow? Pray. Keep praying. God has called you to the ministry of prayer. But, in verse 6, and contrary to that lifestyle, if there is a widow among you that lives in pleasure, and that is just sheer wantonness. Oh, I got to have this. I got to. And her husband dies or leaves. And how many times have you seen this? The man departs, dies, something happens. Paul says to Timothy, you see this stuff happen, man. Don't minister to her. She's got something going. Just leave her alone. That's a serious thing. The Bible says, don't minister to her if she's out on the prowl. Forget it. The Bible says she's dead while she yet lives, man. She's spiritually dead. Verse 7, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith. He has absolutely walked away from the faith. and is worse than an unbeliever. Guys, this does not mean, women, this does not mean that in this time of economic bummers that we're in, that because you can't find a job, that this verse applies to you. How, guys, don't call me and say that you're going to shoot yourself because of that verse. Because I know how we are. If we're not providing, we think we're losers. This is talking about a big loser. This is talking about a guy who says, I'm not going to work. I don't care if you paid me I ain't going to do it. And the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. God knows your heart, men and women who desire to work and you cannot at this time. God knows, okay? It's to the person who has a family and obligations and he's not meeting their needs, ditching alimony. Yeah, but you don't know the woman I was married to. Listen, you don't know the God I know. He says, pay up. And I want to say this now publicly, and I want you to hold me accountable. And I say it before God, hoping that he will grant us the opportunity if it be in his will. Should God bring to us women, and he will, that are fall into this category, that they've been deserted, and they fall under the ability to minister to orphaned children, to those that have been thrown out, that God will equip this church to be able to have these beautiful women of God bring kids in, and the church can subsidize these children, knowing that a godly woman is feeding these babes Jesus, and they can grow up and be sent on their way. Wouldn't that really accent the ministry that we've been praying for so long, for a house for women that are pregnant, an alternative to abortion? Wouldn't that be great? God's time, God's will, we don't know. But I'd love to see that, wouldn't you? And I know you'd love to see that. It'd be great. Then he goes on to say, in verse 9, he says, do not let a widow under 60 years of age be taken into the number. You know what? The number is the widow's ministry. The widow's ministry and washing the widow windows? No, the widow's... The widow's ministry. When they're around the age of 60 or at 60, they would qualify to be involved in that ministry. Why? Chances are they're not going to be remarried. That's why. They had matured, pretty wise, pretty patient. They were not like the young widows who would say, oh, my husband's dead, and in a moment of emotion, I vow to God I'm never going to marry again because I love him so much, and I couldn't love another man. And I understand that emotion. I understand it's real. But sometimes God has other plans. The fact of the matter is that these senior women were tremendous assets to the ministry. And Paul is laying out a rule. Look, if they're outside, or the chances of them not being married, and they're really committed, then let them get into this ministry. If they have marrying potential, then we ought to kind of hold them back. And so he says this, verse 10, the ones that are brought into that ministry, they need, first of all, to be a one woman, verse 9, excuse me, at the end, a one man woman, a one man woman. She needs to be of that heart. Doesn't mean that she was divorced once and remarried and now she can't be. That's not it. When the husband died, or the husband's in prison for life, or he's gone for good, her heart's to be that of a one-man woman. And so he goes to verse 10. Also, well-reported. She's got a great reputation for good works. If she's brought up children, she's got experience. If she has lodged strangers, and those are Christian strangers, by the way. If she has washed the saints' feet, by the way, that was literal and symbolic. They used that terminology back then as hospitality. Well, he didn't wash my feet. And they actually did that, and they actually made that statement as a matter of fact. So if she has relieved the afflicted, comforted them, home visitations, sick, hospital visitations, things like that. If she has diligently followed every word, good work, excuse me, but refuse, and that's kind of a hard word, it means actually to not allow to enroll. Don't enroll the younger women. Don't do it, because they will begin to grow wanting or desirous of a man. And that would be opposite to their commitment to Christ because they desire. So exercise wisdom with them. Having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith or their promise. So we want to counsel people who have suffered loss and make sure they make the right choice. And besides, they learn to be idle. A woman who is supplied, here's the gist of what he's saying. You get a young widow, and the church starts pumping money into her account, and she starts, hey, man, that's pretty cool. In fact, this is real nice. And she begins to get lax. Listen, idle hands are swift to mischief, you know what I mean? It's true. And so the fact of the matter is, Paul is encouraging, listen, the younger one, she needs to get going again. She needs to grieve, yes. She needs to have good Christian loving friends, absolutely. Prop her back up and get her going again. She's got a lot of potential. She's got children, possibly. God may have an alternate plan to bring another man into her life. She needs to get moving. She needs to get going and produce fruit for God. And that's the situation that he's talking about. Those who nurse off the church, who don't really need it or ought not to be, they begin to get idle. And they begin to go house to house, and they're talking about this, and the phone's tied up all the time. Why? No, the church will pay my phone bill. So I'll just call, you know, Joe and Yakima or whatever, and no, there's that accountability. Because look what happens here. It says that they'll wander about from house to house, and not only idle, but they'll also start gossiping. They'll become busybodies, saying things they ought not to say. That's wrong. It's heavy. The Bible says a gossiper will not inherit heaven. But I'm a Christian gossiper. That doesn't count. You know? Let's pray about it, brother. Have you ever prayed? And they start gossiping in prayer. Oh, God, you know, Billy Joe, his wife is running around, oh, God. And oh, is she? Oh, my. Oh, man. That's gossip. Let's pray, brother. And they start praying and it's gossip. You ever had that? Maybe I'm the only one. Oh, God, over there at their house, they're all messed up. Something wrong over there? Oh, yeah. God, let me tell you how messed up they are. Look, God already knows. Don't spread things around. Be careful in prayer even. Be direct. Charles Spurgeon says when you pray, the shorter the better. Because any more than yes and no, Jesus says, you get into sin. Keep that in mind. So, they run around, do these things, and look what happens, verse 14, house to house. They give opportunity or a wedge, an entry. The word in the Greek means you give a platform to the enemy. Who is the adversary? Verse 15, for some have already turned aside after Satan, the adversary. It is Satan. Don't open that door because he'll come in. Then he says, if any believing man or woman has widows or is watching over widows, taking care of them, let them relieve them. That means continue to bless them, continue to minister to them. It's a call that God's put upon your heart. Minister to them. Great. And do not let the church be burdened. Why? Because the church will take care of those who are really widows, he goes on to say. The ones who are totally destitute, they have nobody. They have no one. No family. They don't even have friends that are supporting them. Then this church needs to step in and to help them. What are they to do in return? They're to pray. They're to minister. Come down and clean windows. Vacuum. Minister in the children's ministry. Their hearts, remember, these are godly women. Their hearts are so blessed. They're so happy. They can't wait to serve their Jesus because they've been so ministered to and taken care of. And the church is nothing more than the extension of the very hand of the God in whom they love. And so we need to honor widows. We need to bless them. I want to end in a moment. I want to give you some quick examples. You might want to write these down and we'll end. Jesus has a heart to widows. First of all, in Acts 9:36, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which her name was translated Dorcas. I like Tabitha better. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became very sick and died. And when they had washed her, cleaned up her body for burial, and laid her in the upper room, and since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was near, they sent two men imploring, begging him to come and not to delay. And then Peter arose and went, and when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows. Got that? Are you with me? All the widows were there. Why? This lady ministered to widows. She was a widow minister. Were they dry-eyed? No way. They're bawling. You bet they're bawling. They've just lost their source. It says, all the widows stood by, weeping, having the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made, or Tabitha had made. They're sitting there going, oh, she's dead, and this is my comforter, and this is my booties, and all the stuff she made. And they're holding on close to them because they just lost her. And Peter goes, get out. Everybody get out. And he knelt down and prayed. Turning to the body, Peter said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Hey, aren't you Peter? Isn't that awesome? Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, he presented her to them alive. Wow! Why? The widows needed her. You want to have a ministry? Minister to widows. Does this church want to grow and be blessed? We better start ministering to widows. If you're a widow here by desertion, by imprisonment, by death, and if I could ever think of the fourth reason, I'll call you. Come and see me in the course of this week. Give me a call. We want to know who you are. We want to know if we can help in some way. If we do not, then we are negligent and our religion is in vain. It's time to get with it. Luke 2 says, now there was a woman. Her name was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years past her virginity. That means when they met, they were virgins. They enjoyed each other for 7 years, and then the man died, and she was also a widow for about 84 years. That means this lady's been alone for 91 years. If she got married at 15 or 16, which was custom then, she's about 107. About 107 years old. And look at verse 37 of Luke 2. It says, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years plus 7 and all that stuff, and then her age. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. A prophetess, about 107 years old, a widow who hung in there and prayed. God help us to minister to God's widows.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at part of 1 Timothy chapter 5, where Paul reminds Pastor Timothy to show that his faith is real by doing things like taking care of the poor and demonstrating respect for the elderly. It's a presentation called Responsibilities of a True Believer, and we'll continue with more in this series through 1 Timothy on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you've made Real Radio a part of your life, let us know. It's easy to do so. Just call, click, or write. For instance, you can visit us at realradioactive.org and click where it says Send Us a Message. Just a few words of encouragement is all it takes. realradioactive.org. Here's our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can do it the traditional way. Write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of that information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, California.